All the fun and sage wisdom right here on the Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Curry is the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, 63 years in Tampa, great servants in the community and doing great things for Bucks fans and people all over the Bay Area. Great prices, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, $500 just to order a new vehicle. It's so easy. Bill Curry Ford. .com. GM Sean Sullivan wants to help you personally, wants to give you that Ira Kaufman discount, BillCurryFord.com. Bucks fans, get to our draft party, Ybor City, Big Storm Brewery, upstairs, Centro Ybor, 7th Avenue, BigStormBrewery.com. Click on the Ybor menu, check it out. It is fantastic. See all the beers. It's a huge place. We're going to have a great time. 7 o'clock, April 27th. Draft starts at 8, and we'll be there through the last pick. So it's going to be great stuff. More details at joebucksfan.com. Our Pick the Pick contest will be on. Two forms of it with $500 prizes from Florida's Elite Restoration. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. But that's the draft party. And what's a draft party? It's Ira Kaufman. It's lots of great Bucks fans just really enjoying the draft, bonding, and just having a great time. There's really a lot of excitement. It's built in on top of the fans being there. Some good chants. We always have a good time. Big Storm Brewery, Ybor City, 7 o'clock. You can get there earlier and have dinner. Have dinner at 7. They'll be ready. They're going to be staffed up. Great beers flowing. Some specials. Ira will be there. Big Storm Brewery. Find your local neighborhood tap room as well at BigStormBrewery.com. And Florida's Elite Restoration, as we mentioned, they are your first phone call. Whenever you have a disaster in your home, flood, fire, mold, storm damage, they are the experts. They are the big time players in the Tampa Bay area, family owned, honest, and they know how to fight the insurance companies to get what you deserve. Owner Josh Martin, big Bucks fan, and he has also got tons of experience working as an insurance adjuster. So he is there for you now on the other side, and they are fantastic. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get there, read about them, bookmark it so you know who to call when you have that problem. They'll give you a free assessment, free estimate of what's going on in your property immediately, and then you can make your decision from there. They'll also give you $500 if when you call, you mention the Ira Kaufman podcast or Joe Bucks fan, and if you move ahead with their service, if you actually need it, then they'll give you $500 toward your deductible or just cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
That's kind of ludicrous on the face of it. I mean, it is. I'm not satisfied. They're making lasagna. Now it's time to agitate.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is with us. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. And Bucks fans are fired up, Ira. Not only is practice a shade over 2 weeks away, Ira, the draft is coming up. And of course, 2022 models at Bill Curry Ford have 0% financing, plus no payments for 90 days. That's exclusively at Bill Curry Ford, as we heard about, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan, he's ready for you. Start your custom order today at BillCurryFord.com. Ira, you know, one thing we haven't gotten into a lot is quarterback. And I got some important quarterback questions, and I'm not talking Baker Mayfield here, but how are you, Sage?
Steve, you might have buried the lead because besides the start of practice, we have Jason Light front and center. I believe it's next Friday, Lee. You boys have been through many a Jason Light pre-draft conference. Lee, you talk about holding his cards close. This is a very good draft. You know, it's got good depth there and good depth here. And what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Would you trade down? Yeah, we might. Would you trade up, Jason? Yeah, we might. Well, we have Jason Light for, 22 minutes next Friday. And, Steve, we might ask him a couple of questions about the quarterback situation.
Well, Sage, I don't know. Lee, do you think fans get excited about a Jason Light news conference? I don't know. That was my context.
No. And no offense to Jason, but Jason's not exactly... Jason's an awesome dude and very much an engaging personality away from the cameras. But when he gets behind the podium, he tightens up and stiffens up and he he's anything but compelling. To be fair, you know, all 32 general managers are tight-lipped about the draft, and you know, I think understandably so. They don't want to tip their hand to another organization. I'll say this thing about Light over the years, and he takes a lot of pride in it, and I think he's good at it. He's pretty good at knowing, generally speaking, the direction other teams are taking.
Yes.
And if there's a guy, you know, at 18, he's pretty good at deciding, nah, they're not going to take our guy, so let's sit tight, or they might take our guy. We got to get ahead of that team. Well, he's pretty good at that.
He does some good intelligence work, you know, CIA stuff. He's very good at that. And Ira, this is sort of related to the subject we're discussing. It's a little bit inside baseball. But a couple weeks ago, the Ravens, they had their pre-draft. I think, doesn't the NFL mandate that you have to have a pre-draft press conference? Well, anyway, yeah. Harbaugh and DaCosta, is that it?
Yes.
There was a big deal made when someone asked about Lamar Jackson, which was not the point of the press conference. They said, we're here to talk about the draft, and they made a big deal about that, but they wouldn't talk about Lamar Jackson. That's almost standard. I mean, what I mean by that is, all these pre-draft press conferences are specifically for the draft, and it never fails. Some people, in fact, will ask the GM non-draft questions, and then the comeback is, well, we're here for the draft. They rarely answer non-draft questions. And so I don't know what the big deal was that they made about Lamar Jackson, because every team does that. No, we're here to talk about the draft. They won't discuss anything else.
Well, Lee, to be fair to the Baltimore media, the status of Lamar Jackson, you know, has a direct impact on their plans and their, you know, shaping their draft strategy. So I'm with the Baltimore media on that. Harbaugh looked like he was a deer in the headlights. The PR guy tried to step in and be a hero. But I'm not going to fault the Baltimore media in their mind doing their job.
I'm not faulting them at all. I'm talking about the reaction to that. They're like, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't talk about Lamar Jackson. I'm like, no spit.
Every
team will do that. I mean, the reaction, I just don't understand. And that's what I expect next week is, you know, someone will ask Light a non-draft question. He's like, well, I'm here to talk about the draft, you know.
Steve, maybe I'll try to shake up Light and say, Jason, any truth to the rumor that you're offering the number one pick for Jameis Winston to come back to Tampa? You know, something to get him off his spot, Steve, something.
Hey. All right. I'll leave that one alone.
Steve, you want to know about this this quarterback from Tennessee, and I got to say.
Well, wait a minute. You don't know what I want to know, Ira. Hold on a minute.
All right, you're in charge of this podcast, Steve. You're right.
Now, real quick, I wanted to mention, since you mentioned the draft, the website, the33rdteam.com, which is sort of a fascinating website, since they've got all these massive names contributing, yet it's not a popular website at all. Terrible. But so that's kind of fascinating.
Who the hell goes to a website when one of the experts is Dave Wannstedt?
They got other guys, Lee. They got other guys. They do.
You know, some of the guys they push, and Wannstedt's one of them. Although Todd Bowles has a losing season this year, Ira. 5 years in a row as a head coach. The best I can tell, the last guy who had 5 losing seasons in a row was Tom Landry, and that was an expansion team, and that was in the 60s. That would never happen today. And oh, by the way, I double-checked Dave Wannstedt's record. He never had 5 losing seasons in a row.
Well, at least he worked with Jimmy Johnson, so some of Jimmy's...
Oh, my God. No one rode that guy's coattails more than Wannstedt.
But one guy who contributes there is Rondé Barber. And I put this out there, Ira, we're not going to talk about it, but Barber broke down cornerbacks in the draft and why he likes some guys and more than others with film. It's a film breakdown. The level of detail that this guy is into, stuff you can't even see, like he's pointing it out and he's like, you can't even see it. I mean, you wouldn't see it unless you were, a high-level NFL coach or a player. I would suggest anyone go search that. If you're really into football, it's like, holy crap, mind-blowing. Yeah, so on the website, Ira, I also got shifted to a full breakdown of Hendon Hooker by Mike Martz, who really gets into a lot of X's and O's with film, and he basically, you know, says he'd stand on the table and demand his team drafted him. And I got to ask you this about Hooker, and a lot of fans, you know, and they know, of course, he's the University of Tennessee quarterback. He's coming off an ACL. late November, surgery early December kind of thing. We've seen quarterbacks recover from that. But I also heard a breakdown on NFL Radio, Ira, that 4 out of 5 guys don't recover fully from an ACL. One out of five do not recover fully. So that's sort of interesting when you put it in the numbers perspective. Anyway, the bottom line is Hooker can't find anyone to say that he's not an excellent quarterback prospect. He turns 26 in January, which makes him a bit of an X factor. But Ira, in all seriousness, the Bucs, where they are now, if they think he is a starting caliber quarterback, that he's that kind of prospect that they believe in, that could be that guy, do they have to draft him at 19? And do they have to trade up, you know, maybe a maximum of 4 spots to go get him if that's there and it's only going to cost them a third round pick?
I wouldn't piss on picking him at 19. Let's face it, he was very productive in a high octane offense. Steve, where the Bucs are right now, they have an unsettled quarterback situation. Nobody knows if Mayfield's going to resuscitate his career, and nobody knows a damn thing about Kyle Trask. I trust his scouts, and if his scouts, who have done extensive work on Hooker, say this guy's got a real chance to be a real quarterback, Lee, who are we to say that they shouldn't take the guy at 19? Now, the second part, I'm on record, Lee, you might disagree. I don't like moving up 4 spots and giving up a third, because you better be sure about this guy. And I don't want to give up draft capital. I don't. I might want to have done it when Brady was around, and that guy can help you right now, and we're going for a Super Bowl. And Lee, those times have passed for a while. We'll see how fast they can get back there. But they don't have Tom Brady, and I think you have to adapt. But Lee, sitting there at 19 and he's there and your scouts love him, Lee, I don't think that's crazy.
Oh, no, I'm not totally against either. I'm with you, Ira. I'm not so anti-trading a third-round pick. I mean, a third-round pick, and they've got 9 picks to begin with in this year's draft. And, you know, they could use some of that as collateral to move up later to get a third-round pick, you know, get rid of a fifth-round pick, especially if it's a quarterback. If it only costs a third-round pick to get Hooker, and like you said, they're sold on him, I mean, you know, absolutely do it. That's a good investment, because generally quarterbacks are going to cost a whole lot more than a third-round pick in the future, or even in the past. But Hooker, the only thing that bothers me about Hooker, and I don't know if bothers is the proper verb, concern maybe is a better word, he comes from an air raid offense, and generally, now there's always exceptions, generally those quarterbacks are terrible in the NFL. But there's 2 major outliers to that. Major outliers. One is Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
The other is Jalen Hurts. So I always hear coaches, both ex-coaches and current coaches, say they're having to evolve because colleges aren't running pro offenses anymore. And more, the air raid is the norm as far as offenses go in college. So maybe the fact that in recent history, Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are outliers, maybe more and more NFL coaches are more used to air raid, are more adept at helping these guys learn a pro offense from the air raid offense, because they're very, very 2 dissimilar types of offenses, which is one reason why these guys struggle. So maybe that the NFL is adapting. I don't know, but it seems that way. But the great thing here, and I wrote the story the other night, but at any rate, I'm typing this story up and I'm like, wait a minute. Baker Mayfield came from the air raid offense. He came from the same offense Jalen Hurts came from, the same offense Kyler Murray came from. And Murray, I'm not ready to go there yet, that he's one of these outliers, that he translated from air raid to pro. I'm not there yet. He's got the skills, but I'm not there yet. I'm not sold on him yet. I don't know if Mayfield would remotely be interested in doing this, but he could help this Hooker, in theory, give him some tips about, okay, I played in this offense in college. Here's what you got to do in the pros. And by the way, with Hooker's knee injury, it's unlikely he'll be on the field until late summer at best. Right. So they could do like Andy Reid did. They could do like Doug Peterson did with the Eagles and sit Hurts. Well, Hooker could sit. And, you know, you've heard people refer to Baker Mayfield like Peter King. He said the first thing he thought of when the Bucs signed Baker Mayfield, this is a bridge quarterback. Well, there's your bridge to Hooker.
You know, Steve, it's curious that the 2 outliers that Lee just mentioned happened to meet in Glendale on February 9th or whatever it was in the Super Bowl. Those are the 2 guys, Steve.
I'm almost unhappy with you, Ira. How could you say that if the scouts like him at 19, that you don't want to trade up for him. I don't understand. Either with a quarterback, either he's the guy or you think he could be the guy or he's not. And if he can be the guy, how could that be a reach or how could that be a waste, you know?
Steve, I think it comes down to a degree of passion, a degree of belief. And, if Spytek and some of these guys that Light really puts a lot of stock in, if they're adamant about Hooker and his potential, and Lee's right, I don't think you look at him as a starter this fall. But that's okay. To me, the Bucs are not a championship contender. Vegas agrees with me. They are what they are. They're a team on the reset, on the rebuild. To move up and give up a third, Lee says, not that big a deal. Well, it is when you got a lot of holes to fill. Steve, you give up a third. I'm not saying you absolutely. It's a 10th, 11th commandment. Thou shalt not give up a third round. But Lee, Steve, you got to love Hooker. You can't like Hooker. You got to love him to give up Kappa.
Well, here's the thing. We just saw Carolina give up two number one picks? So to me, giving up a third round pick to get your quarterback as opposed to what Carolina did, that's nothing. That's absolutely – oh, by the way, they gave up DJ Moore too. The Colts might trade two first round picks for Lamar Jackson.
Well, Lee, let's remember that, I have not seen one scouting report, and I've seen a lot of them, or one draft analyst who ranks Hooker ahead of Stroud and Bryce Young. I mean, not one.
That's true.
But that doesn't mean that the guy's not an intriguing prospect, Steve. I understand your point at 19. And now, we might as well throw this podcast into an uproar.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before the uproar, my point is you need to love a guy to draft him at 19. So I think the third round pick at that point is moot. I love a guy. I'm drafting him at 19. If I have to throw in an extra third rounder for this quarterback that I love, what's the big deal? That's where I stand on that.
Well, we're getting into degrees of love over here, Stevie. Now it's time to agitate Mr. DeKemper, and nobody's better at it. Nobody's better at it than I am. Nobody stirs DeKemper's drink like me. Lee, I got a column coming up. The basis of the column is run, Forrest, run. Run, little Buccaneers, run. Now, Lee, what you're going to not disagree with is I don't like the running back stable as it is right now. I'm not satisfied with White, Vaughn, and whoever else you want to throw in there. I don't think that's good enough. White didn't show me enough, Lee. Not enough. So my point is, nobody wants to draft a running back in the first round. Nobody wants to do it. They're devalued, they get hurt, the second contract, the guy's 29 years old, he's got wear and tear on him. Lee, what's wrong with having a stud running back for 5 years, his peak years, at a cheap contract? So this guy Robinson, Todd McShay, I don't know if you like Todd McShay, but he speaks for a lot of analysts. Lee, he's got him as one of the five best players in the draft. Top five.
I wouldn't use Todd McShay as my standard, but he's not alone. You're right, Ivor. This Robinson's fantastic. I've been in love with him since last year.
He catches passes, Lee. He's a three-down back. A three-down back.
Absolutely.
And there's a back from Alabama also that's a three-down back. Yeah, average 10 yards a catch. I don't think he's as good a runner as Robinson.
No, but very quick.
I wouldn't piss on the Bucs if they drafted Hooker at 19. Lee, I think I could make a case. If the fifth best player in the draft is there at 19, and you got a need, and what better crutch for Mayfield or Trask, Lee, because Mayfield had a very good running game in Cleveland.
Oh, and yes.
And it helped him. And now you got Trask if he wins the job. Unlikely, but possible. You got a lousy running game, and Kyle Trask, that's a crappy offense. That's a crappy offense, in my opinion.
I'm not against drafting a running back whatsoever. I would not throw a hissy fit if they drafted Bijan Robinson. But this running back class is so deep.
Yeah,
I think get a really good one in the second round, i.e. the guy from Alabama, who also is a three-down back, and he's super quick. What do you hear about the Bucs from independent sources?
They need more speed.
Yeah. And this guy's quick as lightning. So I would not be opposed to a running back. I'm more in agreement with you than I think you believe. To me, a quarterback is a much more important position than a running back. And if you're looking at investments, obviously a running back is not a good investment long term.
Well, you're making a strong point against taking him back in the first round, Steve, because this draft, you know, has five or six viable running backs that that are going to, you know, probably be good NFL players. They're not Emmitt Smith and not Barry Sanders. Fine. That's fine. But, Steve, this guy Robinson's been compared to Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. That's not too shabby, Steve.
No, of course not, Ira, but I'm still spinning that you said the Bucs are not a contender this year. That upsets me, Ira. It upsets me because if you can win the division, and if you're, I don't care about Vegas, if you have a legitimate shot to win the division, which the Bucs do, then you're a contender. I don't know how else to say it. You can still make trades at the trade deadline. You can still make moves this summer. You could still nail a couple of draft picks like they did in 2020. I don't know. That upsets me, so I can't even talk after that.
Steve, you gotta put the rose-colored glasses. Now, come on, Steve. That's not the Izbits that I know. That's not the Izbits that drives the most successful Buck website ever invented.
Wait a minute. I'm not driving anything. And you tell me who's better in the division. I don't know who's
Steve,
better.
They just won the division and got clobbered, and it was a bad season. That's a bad season. You're 8-10, and you got clobbered. That's a bad year.
Didn't you pick them to beat Dallas, Ira?
I don't remember, Steve. I can't recall.
All right.
I'm the opposite of upset because Ira's doing his research here. He's going to give Sean Sullivan a run.
Lee, that was not a good year by the 2022 Bucks. Am I wrong, Lee?
No, you're not wrong. That's why a lot of people believe, if not want, Todd Bowles to be on the hot seat. I'm not in the want category, but that's one main reason why Bucks fans are in an uproar about Bowles. Not the only reason, but one reason. I got to tell you this, Ira, before we move away from the running backs, I'm totally agree with you that I'm not overwhelmed with the Bucks stable of running backs. Just not overwhelmed. I've written this many, many, many times already. People probably already are sick of me saying this, but Rashad White he split carries basically between him and playoff Lenny. If you're the best running back on the worst running team, what are you?
Yeah. And Vaughn's an unknown quantity at this point.
Sort of. I don't know about catching. I think, like, you know, Jason Light said this at the combine, and basically Light thought he's been misused.
I think Todd Bowles might have thought that too last year. I thought there were some times when Bowles at the podium looked a little bit bewildered, Steve, at how few carries Vaughn was getting. Yet he was careful, as he always is, but I thought he was a little frustrated about that, Steve.
Well, that's his own fault. That's his own fault. That's terrible if that's the case. I'm going to hope it's not. But all he had to do was say, hey, Byron, Vaughn gets three series in this game. You figure it out.
Yeah.
Didn't say that when he was asked about Vaughn, it might have been your question, that he wasn't given a fair shot, something along those lines?
Well, he said a few versions of it. He said it again at the owners' meetings a couple of weeks ago in the quote that I had. I didn't even ask him about the running backs. I asked him about running backs in general, and he mentioned Vaughn, that he just didn't get opportunities, and you know, and they really like him. So and Light thinks he did pretty well with what he got. And you know, frankly, Vaughn carried the mail against the Eagles in the playoffs, Ira, and probably the last or the most interesting nugget, as far as I know, you like unique numbers that fit together well. Vaughn carried the ball 17 times against the Eagles with a touchdown and did very well against a good run defense in the playoffs. And that's how many carries he got all of last season. 17.
You don't remember how many he got against the Rams the next week, Steve?
Fournette was back, and he didn't get the ball.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Vaughn hasn't looked terrible, Lee. Not terrible.
No.
He's made some plays. He had one long run, touchdown down the left sideline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Lee, I don't know how Steve looks at it, but, you know, Chase Edmonds, White, and Vaughn. Steve, this is not a bravura backfield as things stand right now.
Well, on Bijan Robinson, I have no problem with him drafting him because at the end of the day, if he's a good player, it's still entertainment, and it's a good. If he's good, let's see what he's got, and that's that. It may not be it wouldn't be my first pick as far as building a roster, but if he's as good as everybody says he is, Ira, I don't think he's going to be there.
Right, I think you're right, Steve. There's probably three or four teams that are looking hard at Robinson hard.
And, you know, one of them could be the Eagles. I mean,
that's right. That's right.
What better, and they've got that high pick, what better addition would that be if they, especially if they want to take some hits off Jalen Hurts, if you can get a bigger beast in the backfield, and they got rid of, you know, the other guy, I forgot his name, the Penn State guy?
Miles Sanders.
Yeah, there you go, Sage. All right, well, look, I had to get your feeling on this quarterback situation, Ira. Lee, do you take the quarterback at 19? I do. What Ira said you do.
Hell yeah.
Well, Sage, if they did that, how do they have to spin it to the fans or to this competition that would then become sort of three-man, even though it's two-man, because Hooker wouldn't be healthy right away? How do you spin all that? And one reason I like them drafting him, if they really believe he could be the guy, is that it becomes leverage against Mayfield. If Mayfield has a good year and you have to re-sign him, you got a little bit of contract leverage. Maybe you could save $8 million if, you know, just the fact that you have Hooker sitting there and he knows you're not desperate.
Steve, the way you rationalize it is you call him a top 10 talent. Light's done it before. Didn't he say that Tristan Wirfs was their top-ranked tackle now?
Yeah.
Lee, that's kind of ludicrous on the face of it. I mean, it is. If he was their top-ranked tackle, wouldn't they try to move up and give up some draft capital and take the top-ranked tackle on the board rather than watch three tackles come off the board? I don't know about that.
I'll go back to what you stated previously. You lauded Jason Light for having intel about who other teams are going to pick.
Yes.
If Tristan Wirfs truly was their top-rated tackle, and it's not an absurd comment, he very well could have been, and Light had an idea who was going to go before him, maybe Light played it perfectly. If you believe that, number one, Light actually believed Wirfs was the best, and number two, Light does his intel.
Well, if that's truly, that's exquisite. Intel. Exquisite. Steve, you spin it that he's, you know, a top 10 talent, maybe even top five if he hadn't gotten hurt. We're throwing him in the mix. We may or may not use him this season, but he's too good. Lee, he's too good a quarterback prospect to pass up. He's in the mix, but he may not play as a rookie, but we couldn't pass him up. I don't think Buck fans would be upset with it.
I don't. Outside of your crazies, no. Here's how you spin it. And it's actually true. Jason, why did you pick a quarterback at 19? We had an open roster spot.
We had him as the sixth best player in the draft, something like that. And I would just say
we had an open roster spot.
Yeah.
They only have two quarterbacks on the roster.
Steve, let's be honest at this point. They don't know much about Kyle Trask, if anything at all.
Sure.
And Jason Light can't be sure, and neither can Bowles or Joel Glazer, about what kind of Baker Mayfield's going to show up this summer. I mean, that's just this is not Tom Brady anymore, guys. It's just not.
Sage, all right, I got one last question for you. It's about money because we're playing it short on this podcast, and it's sort of important, Ira, I think, in some ways, but maybe not. I don't know. But it needs your sage wisdom. We heard earlier our draft party, April 27th, roll in about 7 o'clock, Ybor City, Centro Ybor. A lot of fun. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration, for handing out $1,000 in prizes. And of course, floridaselite-restoration.com is where you go to find out who you need to call when you have a disaster in your home or in your business. And the deals keep flowing at Bill Curry Ford. What a time to buy a new vehicle. Not only do you get the nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, you get $500 from Sean Sullivan, a gift card just for making your custom order, no deposit, quick turnaround, and ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. You will get that too. Sage, on NFL Network the other day, there's Ian Rappaport, and he's looking at notes while he says this. He's doing the quick little, you know, two-minute report that he does, and he's talking about how the Bucs were, quote, the number one in cash spent going back to 2018 before this year. And then he spits out that the Bucks were $136 million over the league average in spending during the Brady years, although it might have also gone back to that 2018 season. It wasn't really clear. But to me, Ira, that sounded like a plant from that Jason Light or somebody from the Bucks called him up and said, hey, man, I hope you realize we this, this, and this. Because why else would Ian Rappaport start doing research on Buccaneers cash spending. Now, we're not talking salary cap. We're talking cash outlay, which is different than the salary cap. It's just part of the accounting nonsense of the NFL. But it sounded to me like the Bucs want everybody to know that we laid out a bunch of cash, so you better be understanding about this year. You think that's the case?
That's a good call, Steve. Smart analysis. Well, didn't Jason Light drop a line in last week or a couple of weeks ago when he was at the podium, maybe with Mayfield? I can't remember who he was at the podium with. Might have been Mayfield. Well, didn't he say something about, like, that's one of the reasons we spent over $100 million? Didn't he use something about $100 million during the Brady years and try to make a point about it? I think he did. Steve, we don't know for sure what motivated Rappaport to talk about the Bucs cash outlay. You're right. It's a little bit off track. He usually doesn't do that. He usually talks about personnel and moves and upcoming moves. I hope they're not trying to lay a groundwork for failure, Lee. I hope that's not the case. I don't think Todd Bowles is interested in making excuses. I really don't. Bowles is going to live and die with his record. He's not going to talk about Brady not being there and how much money he had to spend and had to give up free agents. At this point, Steve, unless we hear more, I'll take Rappaport at his word. But, Steve, you make a very interesting point.
All right, Sage. Well, the last nugget, if anybody didn't see it, and I'm sure most people did not, there's an article in The Athletic that breaks down exactly how many shares each Glazer has in Manchester United and how much they're worth as far as those shares. And it is extraordinary, Ira. It's extraordinary. I mean, just to give you an idea, you're looking at Joel Glazer in the neighborhood of 24 million shares, and these things are worth over $20 each. So that crazy stuff. But anybody who wants...
Do the math. That's almost a half a billion, right, Steven?
Even more. So crazy stuff. When you think about the Glazers and what they got going on there, and it breaks down each one if you want to know who's got the shares and who ditched them.
Next time, Steve, I see Avi, I'll ask him if he can make me a loan at a decent rate. You know, there you go.
Truly our billionaire ownership group that you would think for sure. Throw in the Bucks, and yeah, they've all got that kind of cash. All right, Ira, have a good one.
By the way, I just want to add this going out on our podcast. I think you boys would agree. Kudos to Rock Riley. Steve, you had a very good interview with Joel Glazer, and Rock Riley did a very nice job with Joel Glazer as well. And so I would like to compliment Mr. Riley, who went out to Phoenix on his own dime. And he does that a lot. I think he probably did the same with the combine. Hats off to Rock Riley. He's doing a good job, Lee.
Yeah. I'm sure there are people that are jealous that Rock got Joe Glazer, of all people, to sit down for a podcast. That's an event.
Including a million people over in England who are like, that guy doesn't talk to anybody. What the hell's going on? So, all right, Ira, we'll see you soon.